Good morning, Bethel Church. My name is Stephen. I'm one of the pastors here at Bethel, and it's my great delight to continue our series, Jesus, featuring Jesus' great I ams through the Gospel of John. Last week, Pastor Andy shared John 6, I am the bread of life. This week, I'll lead us through John 8, I am the light of the world. If you have your Bible or Bible app with you, now is the time to turn to John 8. John is the fourth book of the New Testament, about three quarters of the way through. In John 8, Jesus claims, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This morning, we'll investigate these bold claims together. Claims that leave us only three options. Jesus is a liar, a lunatic, or the Lord. My prayer this morning is that everyone listening here and online will be armed with the experience and evidence to confidently introduce our world to our Lord Jesus Christ. Before we dive in, let's pray. Father God, thank you for yourself. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, into this world that we could know the light of life. Lord, help us to reflect your light to a world that desperately needs to see you. And Lord, help us to hear from you as we journey through your word. Speak directly to our hearts. Holy Spirit. We pray this in the powerful name of you, Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. A few years ago, my wife and I celebrated Christmas in an underground church in Asia. Now, underground church doesn't literally mean it's below street level. It means the government doesn't recognize their legitimacy. The church had rented a large conference room in a hotel to celebrate Christmas and had paid a premium for it. Christmas lights strung floor to ceiling. Screens glowed with Christmas carols. Overhead lights illuminated sheet music for choir and orchestra. Then, a minute into opening worship, the power went out. Music stopped. A church leader stepped out to resolve the issue, the lights came back on, and worship resumed. A few minutes later, the power went out again. Music stopped. A church leader stepped out. This wasn't an accident. Hotel management had been deliberately flipping the breaker switch to disrupt worship. After negotiation, the lights came back on, and worship resumed. Then the power went out a third time. But this time, the music didn't stop. Everyone kept singing and worshiping. The darkness didn't stop our worship. Sure, without lights and speakers, it was harder to sing the lyrics and read the verses. But the real light that illuminated our worship couldn't be darkened by the flip of a switch. That light is Jesus, the light of the world. The world can't stop the light any more than the dawn can hold back the sunrise. He has come. He has risen. He is here. Even in that Asian country so closed to Christianity, their calendar is still 2020, based off the birth of Jesus. The most requested and best-selling book in that country is the Bible. And much like ice cream trucks here, the street sweeper trucks play a tune to let people know they're coming. And what is that tune? They play Christmas carols. Jesus' light shines everywhere, even in the darkest corners of our world. His impact begs the question, who is this man? And in John 8, the Pharisees ask this very question. Let's listen in on their conversation. John 8, 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus makes three bold claims in this verse. First, Jesus claims, I am. Stop. What language is the Gospel of John written in? Who knows? The Gospel of John is written in Greek, yes. We're gonna learn some Greek today. Are you ready? All right, in John 8, verse 12, the Greek words behind I am are ego eimi. So to help us remember, let's welcome up our Associate Director of Bethel Women, Amy. Yeah, you can applaud for her for volunteering. Now, Amy is holding ego waffles. So let's say it together, ego eimi. One more time, ego eimi. Let's give ego eimi a hand for volunteering. Thank you, ego eimi. Now, why is this important? In Greek, the phrase ego eimi has a double meaning. The first meaning is simply, I am. Like, I'm Stephen, or I'm a pastor at Bethel. The second meaning is God's divine name, Yahweh, from the Old Testament. I am who I am. The great I am, ego eimi. Jesus is saying, I am the great I am, God himself. That takes us to Jesus' second bold claim. I am what? The light of the world. Now, Jesus could have said many things here. I am the light of the Jews. I am the light of the church. But what does he say? I am the light of the world. You don't take a flashlight to a sunny field, but you do take it to a dark cave. A light is made to shine in darkness. Jesus wants everyone to see the light. That takes us to Jesus' third bold claim. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. When you glance out your window in the morning, how do you know the sun has risen? Do you have to look at the sun itself? No, you can look anywhere. At the green grass, the brown branches on the trees, the blue siding of a neighboring building, the sun illuminates everything. And it changes the way we see everything. C.S. Lewis puts it this way. I believe in Christianity as I believe the sun has risen. Not because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. As Christians, we don't stumble around like sleepwalkers in the night. Jesus lights our lives, illuminating every step with his word. Jesus claims to be the great I am, the light of the world, the bringer of life. Such bold claims leave us only three options. Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or the Lord, who he says he is. So the Pharisees investigate Jesus' claims for themselves. The story continues in John 8, 13. The Pharisees challenged him. Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Is Jesus a liar? The law of Moses required two witnesses to confirm any case, Deuteronomy 17, 6 and 19, 15. A person could easily lie, but if a witness corroborated their claims, they were more likely to be true. Jesus could have pointed to the crowds. Surely they saw his miracles. He could have pointed to the heavens. Surely angel armies could come and verify his claims. But in the words of evangelist Charles Spurgeon, you don't have to defend a lion. All you have to do is let the lion loose, and the lion will defend itself. John 8:14, Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you have no idea where you came from or where you're going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." The Pharisees want a witness to verify the truth, but Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He speaks with such authority, like he really believes all he says. Maybe he isn't a liar, the Pharisees mutter. Maybe he's a lunatic. The story continues in John 8:19. They asked him, "Where is your father?" "You do not know me or my father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my father also." Is Jesus a lunatic? He says his father is his witness, yet no one in sight claims to be Jesus' father. The Pharisees reply, "We don't know your father. Let him appear in court." Jesus responds, "That's the problem. You don't know my father. You claim to be God's judge, yet you don't even know him." John 8:20. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts, near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. Why does John tell us exactly where Jesus is standing? That's a strange amount of detail. Whenever you see something strange in the Bible, ask why it's there. The place where the offerings were put adjoined the court of women, where during the Feast of Tabernacles, the Jewish people lit four giant golden menorahs, 75 feet high. The light burned brightly throughout the night, illuminating the entire city and reminding God's people of the pillar of fire that guided them through the wilderness. The light also reminded them that God had promised to send another light, the light, into a sin-darkened world. God promised to send the Messiah to rescue them from slavery to sin, lead them out of the wilderness of their wandering, and usher them into the promised land of God's kingdom. Imagine you are in ancient Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. Picture seeing these massive menorahs, seven stories high, representing the light God would bring into the world. Now imagine hearing Jesus standing next to them, saying, "I am that light." John 8:21. Once more, Jesus said to them, "I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." This made the Jews ask, "Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" Life expectancy was only 35 years in Jesus' day. His father isn't appearing as his witness, so that means what? They think Jesus' father must be dead, and Jesus must die to return to him. In most ways, of course, they're wrong, but in a way, they're also right. Jesus would return to his father through his death on the cross. Jesus helps them understand. John 8:23, he continued, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins." Jesus says, "My witness isn't my earthly father, but my heavenly father. You're from earth, I'm from heaven. You're putting me on trial, but it's you who should be concerned. You're the one who will soon face judgment before the Father, not me. And right now you would be found guilty and you would die in your sins. That's why I've come, not to be your accused, but to be your advocate." If Jesus isn't a liar or a lunatic, then what option's left? The story continues in John 8:25. "Who are you?" they asked. That's the right question. Rather than assuming Jesus is a liar or a lunatic, they ask, "Who is Jesus?" "Just what I've been telling you from the beginning," Jesus replied. And what did he say in the beginning of our story? He said, "I am the light of the world." Remember the Greek for "I am"? Ego eimi, the great I am. Jesus claims to be one with the Father, God himself. John 8:26. "I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I have heard from him, I tell the world." They still did not understand what he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." When you have lifted up the Son of Man, the words "lifted up" in Greek can mean exalted or praised, but they can also mean lifted up literally, as in lifted up on a cross. Jesus knew who he was and why he came. "I am the light of the world, descended into darkness and even death on a cross to lift you up into the light." Why would Jesus do that? He did it for you. His body was broken for you. His blood was shed for you. This is the gospel. The good news that while we were still lost in darkness, Jesus brought the light of life. Romans 3:23, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Sin is anything less than God's best. You know you've sinned. We all have. We've all walked in darkness. Just like sin distances us from other people, sin distances us from God. But Romans 5:8, "God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still living in darkness, distant from God, Jesus, God himself, came down to us. He lived the sinless life we never could. He died the death on the cross that we deserved. And he rose again, defeating sin and death. Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." You can't earn a gift. It's given freely. All you have to do is accept this gift of relationship that Jesus bought for you on the cross. And here's how. Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave and is alive today. The resurrection is a historical fact. There were hundreds of eyewitnesses, pagan historical records, 4 gospels, and a news report written within months of his death. Jesus really did what he said he'd do. That means Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. All you have to do is call on Jesus. And the moment you call on Jesus, you have a relationship with God that starts now and lasts forever. Maybe you're here today. You've grown up in church, but you've never actually given your life to Jesus. If not now, when? If not here, where? Just pray to him. Lord Jesus, I'm yours. Save me. Lord Jesus, I'm yours. Save me. If you prayed that prayer, we'd love for you to let us know. We'd love to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Our story concludes in John 8:30. Even as he spoke, many believed in him. Sure, many wrote off Jesus as a liar or lunatic, as a fraud who would soon be forgotten by history. But many believed Jesus was who he said he was, the Lord. Jesus gave everyone who believed a mission. Reflect the light. That's exactly what they did. Jesus' followers founded the first churches. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. They shared the gospel with everyone they knew. And in Acts 2:47, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Jesus' followers founded the first orphanages. Back then, Roman parents abandoned unwanted babies to die. But Jesus said in Matthew 19:14, let the little children come to me. The church adopted these children and founded the first orphanages in the history of the world. Christians founded Fargo's first orphanage too. St. John's Orphanage and Free School in 1907. Jesus' followers founded the first hospitals. Back then, when plague struck cities, the healthy would leave the sick to fend for themselves. But Jesus said in Matthew 25:40, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. The church established the first hospitals for the poor, and they advanced the medical profession like never before. The church founded Fargo's first hospital too. St. John's, now Prairie St. John's, in 1900. Jesus' impact is undeniable. Take a drive east of 994 and note the exits. St. John, St. Joseph, St. Cloud, St. Michael, New Hope, St. Paul. City after city named after followers of Jesus and the hope we have in him. And that's all in the first few hours. The same is true around the world. The country El Salvador means savior after Jesus of Nazareth. And the country Trinidad means Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Cambridge historian Michael Grant wrote, the most potent figure, not only in the history of religion, but in world history as a whole, is Jesus Christ. Humbly, he was born in a feeding trough. Humbly, he died young on a Roman cross. Yet he left the greatest legacy the world has ever seen. If Jesus was a liar or a lunatic, how did he become the most influential human in history? No one left a greater impact on history than Jesus. And no one left a greater impact on my life. Before I knew Jesus, I battled deep depression. When Jesus entered my life, I experienced joy for the first time. As I shared my joy in Jesus with others, I saw their eyes light up. I saw color come back into people's faces. I saw the spiritually dead awaken to new life in him. Several years ago, I shared my story at Bethel Students Fall Retreat. One of our students had brought a friend named Sam, who asked to talk afterwards. I listened to his story, shared the verses from earlier in Romans with him, and asked if he wanted a real relationship with Jesus. Sam said yes. And that night, he gave his life to Jesus. His small group leaders discipled him. He started sharing the gospel with non-Christian friends and coworkers and seeing them come to Jesus. Last January, Sam started interning with Bethel Students. And tonight he's giving the message here at Sunday Night Live. There is only one answer. Jesus is the Lord. And if you know the answer, you have to share it. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The moon has no light of its own. It simply reflects the sun. We can only be the light of the world if we reflect Jesus' light in the world." During a pandemic, it's harder than ever for non-Christians to meet Christians. That's why, more than ever, we must proactively build relationships with those who don't yet know Jesus. Maybe you're thinking, "I don't know anyone who doesn't yet know Jesus." Do all your extended family know Jesus? If not, give one of them a call and ask how you can be praying for them. Do all your old friends know Jesus? If not, set a time to reconnect. Do all your coworkers know Jesus? One of our elders, Joe, recently led a coworker to Jesus in his office. Maybe you're thinking, "I don't know what to say." Joe didn't have to know what to say. He downloaded the Speak Truth app on his phone and used the discussion guide, "What is the Gospel?" These conversations don't come from nowhere. Jesus didn't say, "Let your light shine that they may hear your good words." No, what did he say? "That they may see your good deeds." Before Jesus said, "I am the light of the world" in John 8, he fed the 5,000 in John 6. He healed the crippled man in John 5. He saved the wedding in John 2. Good deeds create goodwill that opens the heart to the good news. Let me repeat that. Good deeds create goodwill that opens the heart to the good news. Live your life in such a way that invites others to ask, "Who is Jesus?" Then make sure to tell them the answer. 2020 has been a dark year for many of us, but it's named 2020 because 2020 years ago, a light came down into this dark world. His name is Jesus. Many people will tell you Jesus was just a good teacher. But Jesus over and over again claimed to be so much more. If he's a liar, he isn't a good teacher. If he's a lunatic, he isn't a good teacher. But what if he's telling the truth? What if he really is the Lord? Come down to earth so that whoever follows him will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What's your answer? And how will you reflect it in the world? Let me leave you with one thing. Write down the name of someone you know who doesn't yet know Jesus. Ask God how you can reflect his light in that relationship. Then follow through this week. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for yourself. Thank you that you sent your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, into the darkness of our world to light up our lives with your truth. Help us to reflect your light in a world that desperately needs you. Help us to say yes to following you in everything. We pray this in your powerful name, Lord Jesus Christ, and all God's people said,